Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, Intruder Alert. GQ 3, Intruder Alert.
I love that doorman. Am I the luckiest gal or what? Good evening. This is Madam Perry, and welcome to Madam Perry Salon. Or you can call me Jennifer Perry or Jennifer Maudette Perry. And I'm just happy to have you here. And I want to thank everybody, all the new followers. And I've had the shows have been getting such great downloads lately and everything. And I'm so excited because we've had so many cool people on, too, thanks to you listening. We've had, Allison Arngrim that was on recently, you know, where you may think of her as Little Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie. But she's still doing a lot of theater. She acts. She's a social activist. She has a stand-up comedy show that's a riot. And don't forget to get her book, Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. You'll laugh all the way through it, except for the sad part. But she's an amazing woman. Tomorrow night we have, this is for true crime fans, M. William Phelps. He's the star of a show on Investigation Discovery Channel, and he's written I don't know how many true crime books. He's sort of a rock star in the true crime genre. You've seen him, you've watched any of those shows, you've seen him on TV a lot. And I think he's just written two books in the last, I know I've read his two newest books in the last 6 months. He's just very prolific and just very interesting. So tomorrow night, M. William Phelps. And next Thursday, we're going to have Athena Bass joining us. Now, Athena Bass is a businesswoman. She owns a company called Aphrodite. It's a specialty candles. She is a musician. She's a drummer for a band called Femme Fatale and several other bands. And she's also the star of a TV show called Rockstar Ex-Wives. Athena Bass, she was the rock star of whom she was an ex-wife, was James Kotak from Scorpions. And she is, and I have to say the younger, because all of her material says she's the younger sister of Tommy Lee. So Athena Bass, she's funny, she's a riot, she's a great musician, and we're going to have a lot of fun with her on here. And also, too, remember, if you, all the people that listened to the show when we had Kazem Sultan on, you know, he's a bass player, he's worked with years with Utopia, Todd Rundgren, Joan Jett, Meatloaf, Celine Dion, just about everybody, Blue Oyster Cult. He's on tour right now with Todd Rundgren's show, Chival Rock, and he still has his solo EP he's on, the latest one, it's called Bootleg. So don't forget Kazem Sultan and go see him at wherever Todd's going to be. I know he's going to be in Atlanta on the 30th. I'm already going to be there, and yeah, it's going to be fun. But tonight, I am so excited about tonight, and everyone's heard me talk or put this out on the social media. Tonight, this is somebody that we all need to talk to and learn from. I met this lady last year at Book Expo in Chicago. She is a financial expert. She has, you've seen her on Fox, CNBC, CNN, New York Times or NewYorkTimes.com, Wall Street Journal. She's been in USA Today, Time, Money.com, PBS, everything. She, until recently, was the leader of the U.S. Business Video Unit for Reuters, the largest news organization in the world. And her work is syndicated globally and seen by millions of viewers on Reuters broadcast and online clients. And tonight, she's going to talk about her new book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. Please welcome Bobbi Rebel.
Thank you
thank you so much. I have to say, it's Rebel. It's Rebel. Everybody
Rebel.
Does that to me, Jennifer. Rebel.
I'm so.
That's okay.
And you know what? And I've been listening to it and watching videos of you. People say Rebel, and then I get those. At the last minute, I have like a little glitch
thing.
Somewhere.
Everybody
okay, well,
Jessica.
This way they'll remember it. This way we'll always
right?
all remember it. Bobby Rebel. Pardon me?
No, that's everybody does the same thing, though.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll remember it even more because we spend a little time.
Oh, you're so
sure
sweet.
Right.
And thank
Rebel.
You for that wonderful introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
I am thrilled to have you here. And you go, you know, this book I started reading, you know how you come home from Book Expo with so many books, and I'm going through and getting, and I started reading this one recently. I thought, you know, I haven't picked up this, and I think this is one I need to start reading. And let me tell you, if you haven't seen it yet, the book How to Be a Financial Grown-Up, it says proven advice from high achievers on how to live your dreams and have financial freedoms. And you've got stories from 30, I think you didn't mean to have this many. You have even more you didn't put in, but 30 financial role models from several different businesses or walks of life. Cynthia Rowley, Drew Barrymore, Kevin O'Leary, Ivanka Trump, Tony Robbins, Sally Krawcheck, Roger Crandall. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, apparently you must have put out the word and everybody wanted to be in it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it ended up being really fun putting it together. My original plan was to have 10 people. I was going to have 10 chapters and have each one kind of led off by a celebrity or CEO, someone that people could really be inspired by. And what happened was I figured I'm just going to go for the top. I sent out requests to, as you read, amazing people. And I did. I got more yeses than I expected. So I said, I'm going to throw them all in and make it work. And it turned out really great.
Well done, you. Yeah, that's what you have to ask. I know when people ask me, how did you get somebody on your show? Well, I asked them. I asked them nicely, but I asked. Yeah, you've got
to
go for
yes,
it.
Yes, you have to ask.
And
you don't get it if you don't ask.
That's so true. Did you have anyone that surprised you with their story? I mean, there were some people who told, like I think you've mentioned before in interviews, Sally Krawcheck, she shared a lot. Yeah, I'm not going to give it away, but.
I don't know. Should we? I don't want to spoil it for your listeners.
No, I don't want to spoil it. Just say she got she.
It's an R rating.
She was real.
It's an R rating.
Okay.
Yeah. This is not a book for children. Someone said to my elementary school kids, read it. No. Maybe your teenagers. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe teenagers. You know, older teenagers. But,
yeah.
But,
Sally was very
candid,
so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. She really opened up. Listen, if you want to talk to, we're going to open up the phones. If anybody has a question for Bobby Rebel about finances and stuff, you'll be happy to answer it, won't you, Bobby?
Of course.
All right. The number he is to call is 646-716-9922. This is a toll-free number anywhere in the continental U.S. Oh, and we've got a caller already, Bobby. Just a moment.
Oh, wow.
And hi.
I'm so
I know. Welcome
so
to Madame Perry Salon.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have a question.
I think I know this voice, don't I?
Yes, you know this voice, and you probably know what I'm going to ask.
Uh-oh.
I maybe. Bobby, I got to tell you, I've got a lot of regular callers and messengers, and they are all different, and they are all fabulous.
Crazy.
I love them all. And,
good.
And this is what we call her Becky Kyle, Rebecca McFarland Kyle, Amazon top reviewer, and she was a judge on the Amazon Breakout Novel Awards, and she's also an
fantastic
author and editor. So, Becky, love for you to meet Bobby Rebel and author of How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. And what kind of question you got for it, Becky? I know you're not going to ask me about finance.
Yeah. I have a terrible book and record habit. How can I reconcile this with being a financial grown-up?
Wait, say that again?
I have a terrible book and record habit, you know?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know, music, books.
Awesome.
You know, life isn't worth living if you don't have some of those.
You should go to Book Expo because you'll certainly, as Jennifer knows, you'll pick up a lot of fantastic free books there, number one.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. And number two, the library, of course, Erin, mm-hmm. which I don't like to mm-hmm. say as an author because I want you to buy my book. But as you know, you also can be a member of the Amazon Vine program, and you can read ahead. You can get the early editions for free. Of the book.
Ooh,
that's what it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I can get signed ones that way too?
That I don't know about. I don't know about that. But I will tell you, with a limited number, and maybe I'll do this, Jennifer, I'll do 3 signed books for your listeners. Very often on podcasts, I'll give away some books. So maybe we have our first winner.
Yay.
And you can get in touch through Jennifer and let me know, and I'll send you a signed autographed copy. So at least that's one less book you have to buy. But I will ask you to please post on social media and do a nice review for me.
All right, I can do that. But if you'll tell me that I can still buy books and records and toys.
You can still buy them. I think in the scope of vices, you're okay. But share them. You know what? Share them, exchange them with your friends.
I can do that. I absolutely can do that.
I had to abandon these books I was dying to read in my hotel room. It was terrible. I couldn't bring them home.
Well, you know, my problem is I want all the books. All of them.
I know.
All of them.
I know.
It's a really bad habit.
It's a good habit. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Becky, I think we're going to have your answer in a minute.
You can sell them when you're done. In all seriousness, if you're, first of all, you can go to the library. You mm-hmm. can download from the library. And if you want to buy them, because I like to read them, hardcover books and stuff, you can, you know, give them away to friends and sell them when you're done. You know, recycle. Share.
Actually, what I do is a lot of times I will, if it's a young adult book, I will donate it to a library at an Indian school that had almost nothing. And if it's an adult book, you know, as in the teenage kids shouldn't be reading this, I'll donate it to Books for Soldiers or Operation Paperback.
That sounds great.
Yeah, well, they're both good causes, and they're badly needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they are. All right.
Sorry about that. That's my landline ringing in the background. Is that for
uh-oh.
Oh,
I was about to say you had more questions.
No, actually, Becky,
I forgot we even had a landline. Nobody ever calls on it except for telemarketers.
a landline? Oh, you like
there's
a landline. Do you guys know what that is?
Yes. We still have one, and we actually have a program connected to it since it's on voiceover IP. That it will filter out any of the telemarketers and computerized calls. So, you know, it almost never rings. It's great.
Okay. Well, you know what, Becky, let me tell you, if you stay just a second, because I've got a couple of things I want to ask Bobby, and I think this will be very useful to you and help you out as well. So that way, if you do give away the books to veterans or when my husband travels around the world, and we had a system. I'd read the book first, give it to him, he'd take it, and then rather than bring it back from wherever he was, Africa or whatever, he would donate to the local Peace Corps library.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could do. But so here's some things that you can do because and this just goes right into one of the first things I was going to ask Bobby. I think I heard you say on a show that, you know, we keep hearing things like, oh, don't get that latte, or you'll save $1 million if you don't have a latte every day, if you don't do this or that, you know, little things. But you said focus on earning more rather than cutting back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
I do say that in the book. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Because I think that life's too short, and I think that, well, first of all, okay, So David Bach, who coined the term the latte factor, is a friend of mine. I've gotten to know him a little bit, and he will defend it. And I do understand his point in that the little
things. Yeah, I do too.
And very often, you know, the term came from the fact that he would say, but I have no money to save, and they'd be holding a five drink. And it was kind of like, well, you know, $5 times every day of your life, mm-hmm. maybe if you save that, that would help. So there's nothing bad about say mm-hmm. almost, you know, instead of spending it at Starbucks, and I have nothing against Starbucks, you know, if you're in a city, maybe spend a dollar at the cart for the hardworking, you know, first-generation immigrant or whoever who's working so hard to build a business, you know, maybe, or even if you want to go to the coffee shop, buy something that's also lower calorie and just buy the plain mm-hmm. coffee, which is probably less than half the cost, and that money can go to savings. But ultimately, you have to earn more money. And that's really what I think people need to focus on, because there's only so much you can do cutting back. And also, do you really want to live that way? Right?
No.
Yeah. And yeah, right. Now, Bobby, I hear a lot of people talk about things now, you know, jobs are different, things are changing. But people talk about it's a gig economy. And
yeah.
if you don't have enough money with your job, you can always get a side hustle, a side gig. I mean, do you think that's a relevant factor then for people today, just to kind of add in rather than cut
back? Absolutely. I think that is spot on these days. I think you can never, you don't want to be dependent on one company, because just as people are not as loyal to companies as they used to be, let's be honest about that, companies are not as loyal to people as they used to be. So you always have to kind of have one eye looking at what's my next step. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be focused on what you're doing at the moment at your primary job, but you should be always thinking about how can I enhance my skill set? What can I do when I'm not at work that will make me valuable either to my employer or to my next job, or just bring in more money to help accomplish my financial goals? So if one of your goals is to pay off your student debt, save more for retirement, that clock is always ticking. And sometimes there's just not enough when you're done with all of your bills and you want to have a little money for that latte. There's just not enough. But if you can pick up an extra $1,000 a month, walking dogs on Saturday or whatever it may be, I'm obsessed with my Morphe waffles. I talk about her all the time. If I needed a side hustle, I would be very happy to walk dogs. I think that's a great thing to do. It's very easy, very fun if you're a dog lover. Whatever you're into, if you're into, one of our role models was a soccer coach on the weekends. Whatever you're into that will also make you happy, that's not your main job, try doing that for a little extra cash and then devote all that cash to whatever that goal is. So if you're not maxing out, let's say in your retirement fund, you can save $5,500 in your IRA and you're not doing it, maybe say, okay, over the year, I'm going to earn $5,500 in my side hustle so that I can fund that retirement fund, that aspect of it. That shouldn't be all you're doing, but to at least knock, you know, fill up my IRA. I'm going to do it through my side mm-hmm. hustle. And why not?
And there are, and I know a lot of people that do work at home phone jobs. I've even done that, you know, and I'm an entertainment publicist, but I've picked up extra money for things I want to do, like grading third grade math papers online, you know, just 3 or 4 hours a day.
Really?
And you don't have to leave
home.
You don't have to dress
up. I didn't know that was a thing.
You don't.
The teachers don't want to grade their own kids. I'm a third grader, so you piqued my interest there. Because I have a third
Ooh,
grader.
I could still grade third grade math. I mean, much higher than that.
Math, homework. Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
you can.
And I'm done. And SAT essays, you know, things like that. You don't have to spend gas to go to a job. You don't have to put on makeup, get dressed, leave the house. There's no stuck in traffic. And, yeah, there's lots of little side hustles you could do. Actually, I have two neighbor kids. That want to come over and walk my dog sometimes, you know. And I thought, you know, they're saving their money and I'm all for them, you know. I really am.
Everybody needs a web page. You could just have web page.
Yeah. Buddy. Well, then that kind of brings me into another question I have for you, Bobby. You were talking about that. So many people now, it seems, and especially millennials, and I can see why. Because, you know, you said you're a Gen Xer, and, you know, a lot of times people, you know, older than you like me, used to think they were slack. But as I've gotten to know more Gen X, Gen Y, and millennials working with them, I find so many that I'm so very impressed with and enjoy. But they're very, sometimes they're very leery, like, a lot of people, they don't have much trust in putting their money in a 401k or the stock market. They've, you know, seen a couple of horror stories. And what can you tell them or me or anybody else about that, how to make us feel more comfortable?
Well, first of all, that's what you're saying is absolutely true. Lots of studies that I've covered have showed that millennials are very hesitant to invest, and that's because they have good reason to be hesitant. They've seen people's accounts absolutely decimated in the recession, and of course you would be hesitant. What I tell them is, you know, look at the numbers. At the end of the day, the power of compounding is you just can't match it. You know, if you start investing at a young age and let it ride, no matter what ups and downs the markets have, when you open that account when you're 65 years old or more realistically 75, 80 when you're retiring, whatever that age may be, you're going to be really happy with the number that you see. And I remember the advice, and I don't remember, I think it's in the book, but I will tell you, my father always said to me, the only numbers, and I said this to him when he's gotten nervous about the market in recent years, the only numbers that matter when you're investing ultimately are the day you buy and the day you sell. The rest is just noise, right? So you can't get upset watching it day by day. If you invest starting at age 22 and you dollar cost average in on some kind of regular schedule, so you automate it, which is a big thing. David Bach, we were talking about him earlier. He's all about automating. Automate your investing. Maybe go to a robo-advisor like Betterment or Wealthfront, which I also talk about in the book. Those are both role models, or they're headed by gentlemen that are role models in the book. If you automate it starting at a young age, even start now. I mean, there's no better time than now. I mean, you can't really start yesterday. So starting now, if you haven't already started, and you automate, the odds are so much in your favor that when that time comes that you need that money, it will be there bigger and better than when you put it in.
Okay. I like that. The only two numbers, the day you put it in, the day you take it out.
Makes sense.
But that's true, right?
Yeah.
It's true. The rest is really just noise and making you worry. I mean, there are so many people. I remember there was a company I had a few friends working for, and it went public. And on paper, they were millionaires. And they didn't do anything wrong. Stocks were in a lockup, so it's not that they could have even sold their shares. They did nothing wrong. They weren't being greedy. But by the and the money was gone. So really, it was just, you know, the day they got the stock and the day they sold it. And the fact that they were millionaires on paper, unfortunately, was just on paper. And that's the tough thing. If you don't, I mean, and the other advice I would say, and I did this with an IPO I once invested in. I sold half of it at a very high profit and rode the rest downward. But I sold half of it, and my feeling was I'm going to take money off the table because you never lose money taking a profit. That doesn't mean to sell out your stock. But if you do sense in an individual stock or you're in something risky like an IPO, you can don't take all the money off. You know, kind of like gambling. You know, take a little off the table if you feel it's gotten really, really high. Keep some in there just in case it keeps going, because then you'd really regret it. But it's okay to sometimes take a profit.
So sometimes, trying to think. Oh, I know. One of the things I read in here, your financial grown-up checklist on debt. And, of course, the first thing, some of us have all learned the hard way, which is don't be afraid to just say no when you're offered credit cards. But the next thing you have there do be strategic and aggressive when paying off debt.
Yes. You do. You have to be strategic and aggressive. And so, for example, you know, you make a plan. So if you have, let's say, $12,000 in debt, you can say, okay, I have $12,000 in debt. I'm going to pay it off in 2 years. And I'm going to pay it off in 24 equal payments of $500. That's what I'm going to do. So you have a plan, and you're strategic, right? And that way you have a deadline, and you feel like you're accomplishing something, and you know that you're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
So you write it down. You write down the plan, whatever works for you. And there's lots of different debt repayment programs. I mean, you can pay – some people, like, if they have multiple bills, they like to pay the smallest bill first. Because, you know, if they have multiple credit card bills, let's say, because then they feel like they accomplished something. Some people like to say, okay, I'm going to pay the one with the highest interest rate first, because that actually makes the most sense from a financial perspective, not on the one that's costing me the most. But the most important thing is to have that plan write it down, and have ownership of it and stick to it.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, because that was the thing I was going to ask. Some people say do the smallest one, do the biggest, but yeah, as long as you got a
plan. It's
kind
of like a diet or like exercise. It's really whatever works for you as long as you do it. So we all need to be healthy. We all need to move in some way, right? Whether it's yoga, whether it's running, whether it's sports, you know, some people do CrossFit. It doesn't matter what your MO is, but you got to move. Your body needs to move to be healthy, right? It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay off that debt. But some things work for some people that don't work for others. You just have to find the one that works for you and do it.
Yeah, think about credit cards. This is a little something, or a chapter in your book. I'd like to read this if you don't mind. This is Tim Chen, the CEO of NerdWallet. And this makes him sound
nerd
so...
wallet.
Nerd wallet.
Yeah,
you say that.
Yeah.
They're a great resource. The writing on there is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great website. I love Nerd Wallet.
And well, I love Nerd Wallet, and I love Tim Chen. After reading this, he talks about my financial grown up moment. My biggest personal finance wake up call came after my sister asked me to help her find a new credit card. I thought it would be a fairly simple exercise. As a financial analyst, I objectively evaluated dollars and cents as a living, you know, so he figured, yeah, I'm the guy to do it. He says, it took me nearly a week to research and compile a spreadsheet of about 400 cards, a fraction of what's available in the U.S., in order to make an informed decision. He says, I was shocked.
Yes. I know.
And Yeah, and he says most Americans will sign up for a credit card at some point. If it took me, literally a trained professional, a week to objectively look at a sliver of what's available, how can any one person be expected to choose the right credit card for them, or the right insurance policy, or the right 401k? He says, I realized the deck was completely stacked against consumers.
It's tough.
So is that, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you think about it, they're trying to make money. You know, they're offering you a service, but their whole purpose is making money. And, you know, you've got to figure out a way where they make the least and you can still make your interest or whatever perks you get off of it.
It's
crazy.
Right. I mean, it's not, you know, you have to have, look, these companies, they have to make a profit. This is America. We believe in capitalism. We don't want somebody to not get paid, but we want to understand how they get paid. So it's just important that whatever you choose in terms of financial products, you understand where they're getting paid. Nothing is free.
Yeah. Well, and you also understand, you know, what your, well, like you said, where they're getting paid and what your exposure is to getting sold off as well.
Right. Well, that happens with mortgages, with really any kind of loan that can happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much you can do about that.
No, not really.
Well, speaking of things that cost, podcast costs, and I happen to have two great sponsors tonight. They've been sponsoring the show for the last few weeks, and I need to give them a little love and a shout out for a couple of minutes. So if you ladies want to take a break, get a glass of water. I'm going to mute your mics and talk about my sponsors.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you later, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Becky. All right. First of all, you've been hearing me talk lately about the talent cast. Now, you know, for people to have to hire recruiters, HR people, it's not easy these days. But there's a great guy named James Ellis. James Ellis put together the talent cast. These are all short little episodes, and they are fun. He considers it the podcast that you really need to listen to, the best one you can find that you've never heard of. But he's listened to these episode titles, Job Descriptions Still Suck, But You Can Fix Them. Or, you know, he's aware of how social media matters to so many people now, and especially the younger generations of millennials. He's got one podcast called Snapchat for Recruiting, Instagram for Recruiting, and one called No One Cares About Your Career Site. So you can listen to The Talent Cast on thetalentcast.com, or if you have somewhere that you like to listen to your podcast, iTunes, Google, Play or Player FM. He's on there, so definitely check out James Ellis. If you go to the website, he's the guy with some balloon animal on his head. So you know he's got a sense of humor. He'll get you the information, and you'll remember it. Air Tickets for USA. Now, our friends at AirTicketsUSA.com, they believe that air tickets are meant to be cheap, and their tickets are 30% to 50% cheaper than any competition online, and they also offer volume sale discounts. Now, they've had a sweepstakes going on we've told you about where the winner, you can still enter to win, the winner gets a free domestic flight up to $500 to the destination you specify, and they're going to announce the winner here live on Madame Perry Salon on June the 6th. Plus, they said to sweeten the deal, when they announce the winner here, they're also going to announce three more giveaways. And, the same day. So that's going to be pretty cool, too. So definitely check out airticketsforusa.com. And I have the information here on the page, the Blog Talk Radio page, that is. And also I share it on all my social media for you. And, yeah, we all want to travel. We just don't want to have to break the bank to do it. Isn't that right, buddy? No one wants to break the bank just to travel, but we all want to travel.
Absolutely.
So, check them out. Now, was there anybody in the book that gave you a story that we haven't talked about that kind of surprised you or was because all of these are very interesting. I got to tell you, I liked the story that Ivanka Trump told about being at the airport with her mother.
I liked it too. Thank you for saying that. I get a little pushback about her.
Yeah. Well, okay. this is a big world, and this is a great story, and I don't care who I don't care what side of anything that you're on. This is a good story. And she
Thank
says
you.
When
I
she
agree.
Was 14. Yeah, she was waiting to board a flight at the airport, because most people would not expect this, but she was waiting to board a flight with her mother and her siblings. Her mother gave them their boarding passes, and she noticed that her mom was in first class, and they were in coach. So she says, with classic teenage angst, I expressed my displeasure at our seating arrangements, which might have been mom. She told me that I was welcome to get a job and use my own money to upgrade my seat, and then reminded me that I should be grateful for the opportunity to travel at all. So obviously she was right, and I slinked back to coach. Now, Dorian, people probably didn't expect this, but I remember reading an interview long ago, it might have been in Vanity Fair several years back, where her mother, Ivana Trump, said that when she was a little girl, well, not a little girl, I think she was probably about, a teenager, so she decided she didn't want to go to school, she didn't need it. It was just a waste of her time. She didn't want to bother. So her father said, okay, you can quit school. She said, really? Yeah, but you got to get a job. He got her a job in a shoe factory. And she said it took her 2 weeks to come back to him, to get the nerve to call back and go, okay, I'm sorry, Daddy. I want to go to school. And these are stories, that really stay with you. So she still had that kind of work ethic and wanted to pass that ethic with work or money on to her children, her daughter.
I think that's good.
Yeah. And, yes, and I think that was good. Ivana's dad doing that. Okay, yeah, you can quit. And so, stayed with her, and she wanted to make sure. And I think that's wonderful. She could have easily put them all up in first class, but she wanted to teach her something useful. She wasn't making her, walk there or drive. I take a bus, but.
No, it was hardly harsh. I mean, come on. She was getting to travel. That's pretty good.
Yeah, really.
And she said that.
Which is what,
Yeah, I decided to start the book with that because I think it makes an important point that, rich or poor, wherever you come from, whatever background you come from, it's on you. If you're rich, it's on you. Mm-hmm. If you're poor, it's on you. And very often the rich kids have a much tougher time than the poor kids because the rich kids often are not taught the tools. They think that they know how to manage money because they have money, but that's not the same as knowing mm-hmm. how to manage the money. People from a tougher background have to be scrappier. I mean, Tony Robbins, who's in the book, who's wonderful, talks about the fact that everybody has different starting lines, and you need to kind of get over it. So people get upset, oh, this person started with more money than I did or whatever. And that's valid. It's not fair. Absolutely, they're right. But now move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to a friend about a mutual friend that we just adore, and she's very smart, and you know, she knows business, and we've known her for years, love her. But I said, you know, I think I've watched and realized that when people, you know, do come from a little more money, they don't know how to hustle. Not
right.
In a bad way, but you know, they don't
well,
know.
They've never
yeah,
had to.
She's very. Yeah, she's very polite. We adore her. But then I started to see that, yeah, she's very polite and sophisticated, but she doesn't know how to get in there and dig in for something, you know, although
right.
she's very intelligent. And I've seen that, and that's what it said here, too. It said she, with Ivanka, yeah, she had a head start, like a lot of wealthy children, but then we've seen a lot of wealthy children and people just burn out, you know, and
absolutely, or just,
so
you know, get lost. They end up, you know, with whatever, or, you know, just falling off path in some way. And it's very sad because very often the parents, ironically, were working so hard to give their children a wonderful life, and it ends up backfiring. So parenting,
mm-hmm.
good parenting is really good. And it does sound like her mother did a great job.
Yeah, definitely. And let's see. Now, Kevin O'Leary. I love to watch him on Shark Tank.
I do, too.
Tell me about talking with him, planning for the book. I don't know all the people on there. But
well, I've been
Kevin.
So lucky. I've interviewed Kevin more times than I can count because Kevin also has an ETF called O'Share, which is dividend-focused. He's a big believer in investing in funds that pay high dividends. That's his focus in terms of his investment strategy. So he's come on Reuters, which I left recently, but he used to come on Reuters quite often to discuss his fund and the markets. And he's a lot of fun. And what I love about Kevin is, you know, you'll interview him on a down day and everyone's saying that they're running from stocks or they don't want to commit to anything. And not only will he come on and say, I'm buying stocks today, he has no filter. It's wonderful. Also, I will tell you,
yeah.
He's really nice. He puts on an, I think, the whole Shark Tank thing. I mean, he is who he is, but he's a very nice guy in person. He really is. Very unassuming, nice guy. Shows up to interviews without any entourage. Just very authentic. A warm personality.
No. Okay, that's exactly what I said. Because I thought, you know, for so long I just thought, man, what a cranky guy. Then I got to thinking, I think that's just a show for this. I think he's probably just a cupcake inside. And the fact that he's such good friends with Barbara Corcoran, she just gives him grief on there. And I thought, okay, you can see. She knows, you know, he's playing tough, and they're having a good time there. So, yeah. And I like his, though, he was talking about at the end of high school, his father sits him down and says, what do you want to do? What's school? He goes, I don't want to go to university. I want to be a photographer. And so that's when his dad wants to talk about.
He still does the photography.
Well, what do
you
call it?
If you go to Kevin O'Leary Photography, you can buy his photos. And I've been to his photography exhibits. It's really good. And the funny thing is, you know, he'll go to these exhibits, and he'll be there with all the other photographers, and he'll be in his little booth area. And people just, you know, stroll by, and sometimes they'll say hi or not. But he's just there, like every other photographer, hanging out with his work. It's terrific. And I believe he gives all the proceeds of the photography to charity.
Oh. Yeah, he says that, you know, the dad taught him the difference between to be or not to be. What are you willing to do in order to be what you want to be? And his advice here was be willing to make sacrifices to support your goals. Which is always the way it
always.
Is and good advice. Now, who can I ask you? Who was your mentor? How did you get to start your career and financial literacy, everything?
You know, I've had so many. I don't want to name any one because I think that would be a hard thing to do. But you know, I'm very inspired by both my grandparents, both my grandfathers, I should say, well, my grandmother too. But I talk about both my grandfathers in the book. My grandpa Bob gave me money to invest when I was young, and that was the start of my stock market investing, and I still have most of that money that he gave me. And my grandpa Harry, I talk about in the book a lot, he used to say, like, if the He'd be singing a song. He used to sing out loud all the time. And he'd be singing a song, and I'd say, oh, what are you so happy about? And he would say, oh, the market's up. I'm making money. And the next day, he'd be singing a song. Why are you singing a song, Grandpa Harry? And he'd say, oh, the market's down. I can buy more stocks because it's a bargain. So they were both really inspiring to me to learn about investing. And I have to also mention, obviously, my father, who's been great because I had wanted to be a journalist always, and he wanted me to go work on Wall Street. So we made a compromise, and I went to be a financial journalist so that I had kind of the best of both worlds. And also one thing that I do say in the book is when you choose your career, think about where the money is. And while journalism pays all that much, and I have plenty of side hustles, I will tell you that within journalism, financial journalism is definitely better paying than some of the other areas of journalism. So I did follow my own advice in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. When you've got something else here that so many different ways, you know, just you give us such a buffet of ways to manage your finances and make money and save money and stay out of debt or get out of debt. But one of the things you mentioned here, too, I don't know why I'd never thought of this before, it says go for the internet salesperson.
Yes, when you're buying a car.
This is talking about getting a car. Yes.
Yeah. Well, because they're paid differently, so they can give you different kind of options in terms of pricing. And that's a little known thing because the person in the store has to sell at a higher price to get the same commission. The commission structure is different. So if you look online first and then go to the internet salesperson, they can give you a better deal in many cases. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was who was the source for that? I think
the True Car.
Because I don't want to not source that. But I'm pretty sure it was Eric Lyman.
Okay.
I think it was Eric Lyman at True Car.
Yeah, Eric Lyman. It says True Car's Vice President of Industry Insights, Eric Lyman. Eric Lyman says that the little-known secret is that if you...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I did want to say, you know, I know a lot, but the truth is that I also have to thank, in addition to all the amazing role models that were in this book, I also enlisted quite a few experts that gave me great advice that I included. So there's a lot of experts in there as well. And your listeners should go to my website because they can read bios on all of the people that are in the book, not only the role models, but also the experts, like Eric Lyman.
Excuse me, I've got a dog fight here. So... I've got a female corgi, and everything belongs to her, even if it's somebody else's. Okay. You know the author Lisa Scottolini?
I do not.
So she has a – oh, okay. She writes a lot of mysteries, and she says, you know, she has a female corgi. She has several dogs, but she said the corgis are very territorial. Her dog Ruby, her territory is the entire north continent of the U.S. So – Okay. And then also in the car, because this is an important thing too with car. Yeah, you said with the investment, you know, they depreciate so quickly. Maybe you get a used car, maybe you go to the internet salesperson, but getting the best financing, you said, is through credit unions.
Yeah, credit unions.
Or
in fact, I'm sorry. What were you going to say? I interrupted you. Sorry about that.
No. It's just that local credit unions have better deals and banks have better rates than dealers.
Yeah, very often.
Yeah.
Although I will tell you that if you go to the credit unions first and the banks first and then go to the car dealer, if you really want to work with a car dealer because it might just be easier, make sure you get the numbers from the credit union and then you can use that and tell the car dealer, this is what they're willing to give me. You've got to match it or do better than that, or I'm going to go over there. It's always important to go in knowing the numbers out there and what you can get. Because otherwise, why should they give you a better rate? And my husband and I had this happen with us. We bought a car from a large, you know, one of the major companies, and they gave us a rate for the loan. And we said, is that the best you can do? And they said, yes. And then we went to our bank, and we asked them. We had done it beforehand. We knew what the bank rate was, and we had been pre-approved. We had it all ready to go. And we said to them, well, I'm sorry, we're not going to give you our business for the loan because we can get a better rate at our bank. because here we already got pre-approved. And they were not too happy with that. We ended up sticking with our bank because the service at our bank had been so good, and they were both the same. And we just said, whatever, you lose. We weren't mad at them because they weren't willing to match the rate until we had it somewhere else. They insisted the rate they offered us was the best they could do no matter what, which was not true, clearly. So you got to go in armed. This is war.
Yeah.
And you're the one paying.
No kidding. Often, yeah.
And auto loans are getting longer and longer. Some auto loans are 7-8 years now. So you're on the hook for a long time.
Yeah, so true, so true. And so many people now have, like, the credit unions. I know my husband has bought our last few cars through his credit union, and they have a car buying, like a car broker or car buying service that goes out and finds what you want and arranges a deal for you.
Yeah, credit unions are great.
Oh,
yeah, I actually
was
at the credit union conference this week in New York City, and there's a lot of really interesting innovation going on with the credit union industry. So I think they're a wonderful resource for consumers if they want an alternative to the larger banks.
When and you're right, credit unions they have so many more advantages than a bank, and I think they can save you a lot of money from what I hear from other people as well. You said, you know, people talk about being entrepreneurs. Go out on your own. You know, you'll make more money working for yourself, you know, than you will for somebody else.
Sometimes.
And that's great. A lot of people do, and you should. But I think you also have said, don't discount the corporate job.
And there's now studies coming out that the youngest millennials and the Gen Z that are now coming up into the workforce, they are more interested than the older millennials in these corporate jobs because they realize the support system that's kind of built in, the infrastructure that can support you in a first job, especially because they do have so many benefits, and they're sort of grown-up companies versus a startup is emerging. A startup may not even have an HR department. They don't even have policies. Look what happened at Uber. They just didn't have policies in place to deal with the changes that were happening. But if it was a mature company, they would at least have policies that would deal with all the problems that were going on there.
Ah, I see. And so why don't people realize that or think of that, especially the millennials? Is it because maybe they've grown up on the stories of people, millionaires from Silicon Valley and the dot-coms and all that and tech, so they figure that's probably the best way to go?
Well, that's a factor. I mean, look, you can't overgeneralize about an entire generation, but there's a lot of merit to starting your own company. And, you know, a lot of them were brought up to want to have self-fulfillment as the primary objective of a job versus Gen Xers, where it's more about what's the outcome, the money, the payment, to then do other things. When you are expecting your job to be not really just your income, but also your fulfillment, that will often lead you to something more entrepreneurial or more of a startup where it's more about the experience of going to work and what happens during your day at work. Maybe you're brainstorming in a cool office space and then you're going to play ping pong and then you're going to go out and have a break and you're going to – it's a whole different environment that's expected. But I think there's kind of a boomerang effect going on where people also appreciate the structure of a big corporation and like I said, the benefits and support that can provide.
So there's
benefits to both, but it should not be. I think a lot of people forgot the wonderful things that a corporation can offer you. Like, for example, a matching 401k plan, that kind of stuff where have a solo 401k, but my old job, I got a 6% match. That's 6% free money where I'm getting 100% return. Now I'm an entrepreneur. I work for myself. I don't have the match. I can still do a 401k. But the match is also coming from me. I have to do both. So, you know, there are definitely advantages to having, you know, a sort of grown-up corporation taking care of you.
Very true, yes. Oh, yes, and I forgot about that. The matching 401, all those things. Yeah, there are a lot of benefits.
You know, health club reimbursement,
and
discount movie tickets, all kinds of stuff. Good stuff happens.
Oh, yeah, I had tuition reimbursement.
I had that too.
From a corporate job, and come on, you can't beat that. You know, where if you got tuition reimbursement versus student loans, Sounds pretty good.
Yep.
If you can go it that way.
It's a good deal. It can be a good deal. People forget about that stuff. They want to work for the cool startup, and that's great too.
This, you know, I always tell people, you know, as a publicist, I always tell people, don't discount the use of social media. I call it this. I think it's been called the one book, the new media or micromedia landscape. And I tell people, if you handle it correctly, it's not all just, you know, hookups and talking, you know, although that's fine. But there's a lot of connections to be made and a lot of people to meet, which I've done on social media.
Well, we connected
and
on LinkedIn.
A lot of fascinating people. Pardon? Yeah, LinkedIn.
We connected
yes,
on LinkedIn.
And exactly. And LinkedIn has brought me some of the best guests for my podcast. And business, I've picked up clients that way, and also gotten my clients placements in different, you know, magazines. I've got my clients, I've used LinkedIn to get clients on television shows, like, you know, morning shows on maybe an ABC or NBC affiliate in different cities. And it's just a matter of meeting people and being polite and establishing a relationship. And there's so much you can do with it. And but I think this says here, here's a page in Financial Grown Up that says, get social to score better deals from favorite retailers.
Absolutely. Well, what you can do is you can go to their Facebook page and friend them, and then you'll get the coupons and stuff. You'll be alerted to sales earlier. Or follow them on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, and you know, it's whether you that you follow on Twitter will have a flash sale. You'll know about it because you follow them on Twitter.
Yes, and that's a I tell you, you cannot. Do not think Twitter is just, I don't understand it. It's people saying what they had for lunch. No, it's not. It's just, I get a lot of deals.
There's
I get
a little bit of that.
You know? Yeah, sure. You got to have a good mix. That's okay. But, yeah, I've gotten deals on, well, of course, there will be places, different shoe stores put things out. I've gotten tickets. Somebody just say, we're giving away free tickets to a concert tonight, you know, on the Twitter, put things in. I've gotten show tickets before. You know, there's so much fun, and people think, well, how'd you get that? I said, well, I got it off Twitter. I got tickets for tonight, you know. You want to go? You want to go to a show?
And yeah.
It's amazing what you can do with social media as long as you know how to use it. Get on there, be friendly, find your group. My group is a lot of there's a lot of literary agents, and they're funny. You know, a lot of people that are just plain funny. But that's a good one. Also, it says spend on tools that will make you more productive.
Yes.
And I know for me it was a faster laptop.
It makes sense.
Or
I mean, I think Adam from Wealthfront had that story where he talked about investing in a computer that seemed really expensive at the time, but it was worth it for him. You know? I mean, whatever
Adam
works
Nash.
For you.
Adam Nash, CEO of Wealthfront. His story is
right.
Great.
It's not frivolous spending if it helps you do your job better.
Because he said, you know, he spent in 1993 over $3,000 on an Apple Quadra 800. I know that seems like a lot of money for a computer that lacks the appeal of a new MacBook Air, but in fairness, it was a high-end model for the time. But, you know, he talked about how it was the right thing for him to do. And for his job, it cost me a significant portion of money, but it was the best money I ever spent.
Yep.
You know, so that makes sense. So, yeah, so you can't always, you know, look for the cheap. There's such a balance. But I'll tell you what, everyone listening live, and still, if you do want to call in and talk to Bobby Rebel, you can call 646-716-9922. And I'll tell you, you can get this book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. I don't care what age you are. You may not be a financial grown-up, but you'll certainly get a lot from this book. And you'll get a lot of... you get a lot of entertainment in it, too. You get good advice, great information, but you'll get some entertainment because everyone here is just you've got 30 people, and they're all winners, and you've got even more ready for the next show, right?
Thank you so much. Well, I'm actually working on a documentary now. People can go to my website. It's called the Financial Grown-Up Project. It's in progress right now, and it's basically a multimedia extension where I have a mix of people. I'm interviewing 100 people over the next year and sharing their financial grown-up stories and their lessons, and it'll be made into a documentary when all is done. But there's some previews up there, a little sneak peek, if you go to my website, which is just my name, BobbyRebel.com, and go to the Financial Grown-Up Project, and you can check it out.
All right, great. And I'm going to put that up on all my social media, folks. Bobby Rebel is on this page, and I'm going to put it on the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook as well as Twitter.
And please ask people, everybody, if you like the book, please share it on social media, and please review on Amazon.
Let the other one know is on here, and he wants to begin.
Hello? Hello?
Can't hear you.
Jennifer, can you hear me?
Yes. Hear you, yes. Hear me. Okay, I may have lost Bobby Rebel, but I know that Duffy had
here.
A question
can you hear
too.
Me?
Oh, good, yay!
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
I'm here.
I can hear you. Okay, I know that Duffy Odom's been trying to send in a question, has been trying to call in and couldn't get his phone wasn't working, so I asked him just to message in his question, so hopefully he'll get that in before we close.
Okay.
And, Bobby, I know that in the book, actually, Duffy had a lot of questions. He just can't get through. In the book,
oh,
you autographed it. You said, "Dear Jennifer, live your financial dreams." And I thought, this.
Thank you. Please do.
Is priceless. And thank you so much. Am I more every day? Yes. And not much as I could or should, but I'm getting there with your help, honestly. And This thing is, it's the kind of book you can pick up and start anywhere. You know, you don't have to go all the way through. You can just kind of pick through and there's different sections, not just the people. Yeah, I like that because you're going to chapter two, the debt primer, careers are for making money, how to spend money, investing starts now, family matters. Oh, that's a big one too. You're talking about the high price.
It is a
doozy. You know, better plan ahead. Woo!
Well, I learned that one firsthand, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think a lot of us did. Let's see. Okay, Duffy says he's just going to put his question on your website. He may not have time to get into it. Go ahead, Duffy. Go ahead and message a question. Yeah, mixing friends and finances. Now, that's usually a delicate situation. Can you give us something on that few minutes? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, this actually came from the anecdote from Aaron Shapiro from the digital marketing company Huge. And he had a really tough time during one of his earlier startups. He had to fire some of his friends. And he talks about how difficult that decision was because had he not done that, the company would have been in dire, situation. Decision to save this company, but it's really hard to work with your friends in that kind of thing when you're starting a company, and yet it happens so often. But there's a lot of times when people start out with their college roommate, look at Facebook, look at GoPro, where people start out with their buddies, and the reality is one CEO emerges and the other one was kind of the friend that was there, and it's hard. It's a really hard reality of business. So mixing friends and family, mixing business and finance and friends and finance can be really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful.
Yeah.
Read that chapter.
Okay, Duffy Odom's got a question message in. He said, Bobby, what if you're 66 and retired already, still not a financial grown-up, and not making enough Social Security to live? How do you plan for what future you have left? And he said, thank you.
Get a side hustle. Go to work.
Mm-hmm.
66 is so young. Not only should you work for financial reasons, you should work for just for your own enjoyment and for life and for being happy. Love a second career and do it. And really try to save a portion of that so that you're gradually creating a better situation for yourself. And, you know, think about if you want to live differently. One thing that people forget is when you move into your retirement years, your expenses do often go down. So the years, for example, right now, I'm in a situation where I have 3 kids at home, 2 teenagers that are my stepkids, and then my 9-year-old. And we are heavy into the parenting expenses right now between fencing lessons and school and camp and activities. But the reality is when I go to retire, all that's going to be gone. I mean, one of our biggest expenses last year was orthodonture, right? That is not happening. I will, and if that happens when I'm retired, they're going to pay for it themselves. So the good thing about when you're older is that even though you think whatever, if you're freaked out in middle age about how can I afford to live on less than what I'm making now, which is what usually happens in retirement, your expenses almost always go down. So, for example, that's why a lot of people move out of the community or move to a smaller property within their community where they can have lower taxes, because you're often in a community where you're paying higher taxes to subsidize a school. Well, if your kids aren't in that school anymore, hey, move to a smaller property or just move, you know, 10 blocks away or, you know, a 10-minute drive away in the suburbs, whatever it is. Get out of that high tax area. Be still near your friends, but amazing, your taxes will drop and your costs will drop. So there's a, you know, increase your top line. Like I said, get a job. The whole idea of retiring and just sitting around because you turn 65 is gone in a good way.
Mm-hmm,
it's young and healthy at 65, right? So do something that you love, the career you always wanted. It doesn't have to be super lucrative, but enough to subsidize your Social Security. And think about lowering your overhead. Maybe you own 2 cars. Maybe you only need 1. Whatever it may be, just think about what you really need, and you can probably get rid of something.
That's true. Very true. Okay. Well, I've kept you way too long. I've kept you over an hour, and I apologize. But
this has been so wonderful,
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. So, folks, go to Bobbi Rebell. It's BobbiRebell.com. You're going to get a wealth of information there. Order the book, How to Be a Financial Grown-Up. And like I said, you can just flip any section of the book. Just grab what looks good to you, what you need to, what it matters to you at that moment, what relates to you, and then read the rest of it later. But it's fascinating. And, Bobbi, thank you so much for being here on Madam Perry Salon. And all that you share with people, you make it understandable for those of us who think finance is just something we'll never grasp. So thank you. I wish you all the best with this book and everything.
Thank you
and
so
please,
much. I really appreciate
you have
it.
Thank you. And if you would, come back sometime.
Goodbye, Luda.
Absolutely.
All right.